Thank you, Happy Day Singer. We're delighted to have you on the program again. And those of you that are enjoying the program, I'm sure enjoying your singing. And if you want a tape of those dear folks, and they do have them, we want you to sit down and write us, and we've already given you the address. Now let's get quiet there on the radio, and you take your Bibles if it's possible for you to do so, and you turn with me to Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to read beginning at verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Our subject today is the faith of God's elect. Now this subject is a mystery to many people who supposedly are converted. They never hear messages about God's elect. They never hear any messages about faith, so they remain ignorant of the greatness and freeness of God's eternal redemption. When confronted with these great doctrines of faith and election, many stay away from these because of false teaching resulting in false conceptions. Today, we intend to rectify ignorance and give you clear teaching concerning the faith of God's elect. If we don't finish with this message today, we shall pick up again where we leave off, and then we'll go ahead and move ahead, because we want you to learn these great realities. So you listen as never before. The Apostle Paul is a pattern of how God saves a sinner. He is also a pattern of the faith that is given to the elect of God. Now hold your seat. If you are saved today, you have the faith of God's elect, because you are one of the elect of God. If you are not saved, you have no faith, and you do not know if you are of the elect of God, and you will not know until you come to know Christ as your Redeemer. Many people today are resting upon election instead of resting upon Christ. But, beloved, I want to say to you again, as I've said before, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only means there is of our redemption. And we find that all of God's elect are those that have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ by God the Father, and put it down. They shall come. John 6:37 verifies this reality, where it says, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever come to Christ for salvation? If you don't know what I'm talking about, my hope and prayer is that before this broadcast goes off the air, the Holy Spirit of God will deal with your heart, put you in under conviction, put you down in the dust and ashes of repentance before the Lord God of heaven, crying out for God to have mercy upon you. Then when he does, it'll be the greatest miracle that ever took place in your life, and you'll never be able to get over it. Now, election cannot be separated from Christ, and so it is with faith. Now, hold your seat as I give you this truth, if you will. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is called the elect of God. Isaiah 42 and verse 1 declares, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. In verse 6 we read again, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. This passage speaks of Christ, so when one despises the doctrine of election, the individual also despises Christ. Now someone might be asking, who are God's elect, and where are they? The elect of God are found in every corner of the globe. And this is why we send out the gospel to every creature, if possible, because we know that the elect of God will hear and will come to Christ for salvation. Salvation is not based upon election as some thing. It is found only in Christ. Nowhere do we read in Scripture that our salvation is based on election. Christ is our salvation because he is the way, the truth, and the life. and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you are resting in election, you are resting upon the wrong foundation, because Christ is our foundation. He is the foundation stone, as the book of Ephesians brings that out so clearly. Now hold your seat again, and listen very carefully. The Apostle Paul, one of God's elect, so it was determined by God, he should be saved by believing in Christ. On the road to Damascus, he was a rebellious, elect sinner, destined to believe in Christ, but only God knew this. Paul was ordained to eternal life before he believed, as every person who was ever saved is in the same category. Take your Bibles now, or listen to me, to Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, where we read, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Now turn again to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14, where we read again, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereupon he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, did you notice? Election is all wrapped up in Christ, is it not? People try to rest upon election, but beloved, they rest upon the wrong thing. People try to rest upon holiness, they rest upon the wrong thing. They try to rest upon sanctification, they rest upon the wrong thing. We must rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Let me ask you this question. Have you come to Christ? Do you know him as your Lord and your Savior? Not do you know about him, but do you know him? Let me give you a good test, if I may, that you ought to do with regard to examining your salvation. Here's a good test for you. You need to go into your bathroom or your bedroom where there's a mirror, and you look yourself square in the eye, and you call yourself by name, and you ask yourself by your personal name, is the Lord Jesus Christ a living reality to your heart? And see what your heart tells you. If you have to drop your eyes or turn away, it means that Christ is not a living reality to your soul. My friend, that's a good way for you to examine whether or not you have ever truly been converted. Don't go on assumption. Beloved, salvation is in Christ and him only. And my hope is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour. Perhaps some of you are saying at this present hour, well, if Paul was one of the elect of God, was it necessary for him to be saved? Now, there are some who teach that you don't have to have an experience with Christ and that you're saved because you're the elect of God. My friend, they're just as wrong as they can be. An individual who has been chosen by God to be saved will be saved. They will have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we've been pointing out. You see, it is necessary for you to have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, because no one can be saved apart from faith in Christ. Now this faith, how this faith comes about, is the grand and glorious message of the gospel, and how privileged we are to be able to preach it. On the road to Damascus, Paul was an unsaved, unbelieving sinner who hated Christ and was dead set against all the people of God. He was this kind. He was without God. He was without faith. And yet, the Lord furnished, when the Lord finished dealing with Paul, he had become a believing person who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. How this all came about, we shall show you in the next few moments. The faith of the Apostle Paul was, first of all, a revealed faith given to him by God himself. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, we read these words, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Now turn to Acts chapter 18 and verse 27, where we read again, "And when he was deposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he came, helped them much which had believed through grace." Now, did you get that? Our faith comes through grace. It's a fulfillment of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now the faith of the Apostle Paul was a revealed faith given by God to the individual at God's discretion. As I mentioned before, it is a fulfillment of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, where we read, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Listen now, "it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now notice, that faith is not of ourselves. It's a revealed faith. The same thing is true at this present hour. When God saves a person, that individual believes in Christ, but that faith is a revealed faith given to the person by God. It is not a faith of ourselves, it's the faith of God, it's the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. In revealed faith, we stand before God, unbelieving, for we cannot believe. The next moment, we do believe, and then we continue believing, because we are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This faith is a revealed faith wrought in the heart by God, the Holy Spirit. It comes sovereignly to us, as it did to the Apostle Paul. Next, we see that it is a singular faith. In other words, no man can believe, for you cannot impart faith, or for you have no faith, and no man can impart faith unto you. The faith you have, if you have any, has been given to you by God the Holy Spirit. It is shed abundantly upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now let me ask you this question at this hour. Do you believe in Christ? Oh, you say, "Yes, preacher, I do." Well, was it because some person persuaded you, or was it because the Lord Jesus Christ gave you faith to believe Him? If it was not the latter, you do not have the faith of God's elect. Now let's look at the faith of Paul again. It was not only a revealed faith, it was a singular faith, but then also it was a progressive faith. Now hold your seat as I give you this truth. If you have the correct faith, it is a progressive faith. Now what do we mean? True and genuine faith is not a sterile or dead faith. It is a progressive faith, which means it grows and matures. Look again at Acts chapter 9 and verses 18 through 20, where we read, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight, and forthwith arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." Now Paul's faith was a progressive faith, in that it grew in strength and maturity. The same is true at this present hour. The faith of God's elect is a progressive faith, feeding upon the Word of God, growing and maturing as the individual grows in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This faith will be exhibited in the actions of the person to whom it is given. James still says that faith without works is dead. This rules out the average conception that there is a one-time action of the sinner, and that is all. When the person receives the faith of God, that faith is a living faith, as the individual not only believes, but he or she is always believing. They desire to share with others. And what do? They learn to live by faith, to walk by faith, and when it comes to leave this world, they will also do this by faith. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is your faith progressive? Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, are you a better Christian today than you were a year ago? Are you believing more in God than you did when you first got converted? If not, my friend, something is wrong. Because the faith that God gives us is a living faith, it's a progressive faith, it's a singular faith, and it's a revealed faith. And how wonderful it is that we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ if God has truly given us the faith to believe Him. This is what happened to the Apostle Paul. I want you to notice. He received meat after 3 days, and then he was with certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. In other words, they were teaching him, and then the result was this. He straightway preached Christ in the synagogues, that He is the Son of God. And we see that this faith was a progressive faith that Paul was given by the Lord God of heaven, and it's the same thing at this present hour. Last of all, the faith of God's elect is a mysterious faith. To the average individual, the person walking by faith is a very strange individual. The person walking by faith is careful in his actions, yet bold and unafraid in adversity. He knows where he is going, and he rejoices in every blessing and testings that come his way. Because, you see, we are not only given the faith to believe in the Lord God of heaven, but is also unto us given unto us not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for His sake. Now this is what happened to the Apostle Paul. And remember what the Lord said in verse 16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now in America today, we have such a comfort religion that people do not know what any adversity is all about. But beloved, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And whom the Lord loves, He corrects. And whom the Lord loves, He tests. And if your faith is never tested, then put it down. You don't have the right kind of faith. Now my time is gone, and I have to leave this with you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour? As I've said before, I'm going to say again. True faith is found only in Christ, and in Him alone. Are you resting completely upon Him? Is He your absolute, personal, all-sufficient Lord and Savior? Oh, my friend, if He isn't, then you need to go back and find out whether or not you've ever come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, as I've said before, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. Oh, my prayer is that God would give you more faith to believe in Him. And my prayer is that if you don't know Him, there will be a cry put in your heart by God to sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you're the sinner. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier of the Mercies of God of Little Rock saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.